Some grow nuts, some grow leaves. Either way you look at it, we're talking trees with John Eisenhower on Rosie on the House.
And we do have Bob online who's got a sad looking pecan tree, but before we get to him, John, what are we looking at when we pull up to a home and it's tree damage from the storm? I mean, does it take a full assessment, or are there two or three quick little cheats you can use that says, nope, this one's gone, got to come out?
Well, yeah, we get a lot of calls and had several this week where our customers asked us to come out and assess whether a tree could be saved or not. And we do our best to try to save trees. We try to determine what if the root system is still intact. Sometimes the root system is so compromised, and there's, you know, we can see where the tree's lifted out of the soil that there's major roots that are broken off of the root ball. It's going to be difficult for that tree, one, to anchor again on that side of the tree. Or for those, you know, there's a loss of those roots, which is, you know, supplying the tree with water and nutrients. So the tree is going to, in those cases, usually is best to take it out and replant, I mean, and put another tree in.
Limp it along for 3 years. Replace it, and three years later, you'll be that far down the road with your next tree.
We had one customer that lost a big mesquite tree, and it fell over on its side, but it had so many low branches that it didn't really didn't fall all the way to the ground. It kind of just tipped over. The roots came out of the ground, and it provides kind of it was right near their chicken coop. And so my recommendation was just to mound soil back up over the portion of the roots that were uprooted, because there weren't any that were broken that we could see, and just kind of build a mound up where where those roots had come up out of the soil to kind of keep them under, keep them from drying out. And then kind of just retrim the tree. It's going to be tipped over. But I also suggested that to another customer of ours who has a big Palo Verde that went down. With Palo Verdes, you have to also look carefully to see if Palo Verde borers are responsible for having eaten the roots, which destabilized the tree and it went down. Because if you have a Palo Verde that basically has a decimated root system because of Palo Verde borers, of course, that's not going to be worth keeping. Other trees, it just depends on the size. Smaller the tree, the easier it is to salvage and to get them reestablished. I went out to a customer's last night late and actually installed what's called a duckbill system, and it's a system of some cables, wire cables, and anchors that you put into the soil, and then you attach those to the tree. And we brought it back up a little more upright and then set those anchors in the ground. And they really wanted to keep the tree. And it hadn't come out of the ground. It had just leaned over. And so they were just trying to save it. So we do that from time to time. There's some very good anchoring systems, some available at your local hardware store. You can shop around. There's some larger ones that are only commercially available when you have a larger tree that you're trying to save. They're called duckbill systems, are pretty cool, because they give you the ability to anchor a larger tree rather than just putting a wooden stake in the ground and tying it to the stake. As you get larger, those wooden stakes just won't hold up under the wind. So these steel cables that you drive into the ground with this anchor are really your best bet.
Is there any give to that at all?
Well, they have a turnbuckle on them, which so you can kind of adjust the tension on those. And they're a pretty rigid system. In fact, that's one of the drawbacks. Is you can have you have to almost consign the tree to be on that staking system forever.
And a texter wanted to know: is there any risk of damaging a root as you're driving stakes into the ground around the tree to support it?
Yeah, and you really should blue stake before you do this. You shouldn't be driving stakes into the ground without having blue staked first, because there could be a gas line. And because these duckbills...
What about the tree root itself?
Sure. I wouldn't be so concerned about that, because it's going to be a minor damage if there's any damage at all. But you're more concerned about utilities. And because you're driving that drive bar and that anchor down into the soil 3, sometimes 4 feet deep, you could hit any of several different utilities. And so we blue stake before we do our duckbill systems.
How do you do that at a 9 o'clock evening house call?
Well, those are emergencies, and you ask the customer. In fact, they had a gas line.
Sign this waiver.
They had a gas line last night that went right, past the tree, and they had just had it serviced, so they knew the footprint where it was. Wow. So you want to go very, very carefully when you're digging. In fact, when we hit resistance too, when we're doing any kind of underground work,
stop.
Well, yeah, especially when putting duckbills in, because you can just move over 6 inches, and then you have a find. It could be a piece of construction debris, could be a rock, could be a root. So you just want to move over a little bit, and then you can push it down a little bit further. There's a really cool product, though, that's if you have a very large tree that is almost too big for a duckbill system, you can use an earth anchor. And it's a huge eye bolt with a spade on the bottom of it that you turn into the soil. It has a helical spade on the bottom of it. And you can turn those into the soil like an auger. And they come in all various sizes. You can get ones that are 4 or 5 feet long and a 3/4 inch diameter rod. And those put in place can actually hold a pretty significant tree. We pulled a tree one time, dropped a couple of those into the ground, deep in 5 feet into the ground. And we put a cable on, and we winched a tree away from a house because it had been leaning on a carport. Well, so we actually were able to pull a large tree up and with a come-along and then anchor it so that they could it wouldn't cause any further structural damage to the home. So those anchors can be pretty big and hold a pretty large tree, something, 10-inch diameter and larger. So those are possibilities out there. We don't do them every day, but if you got one of those high value trees and you want to take the time to install a tree support system, there is the hardware out there and the engineering skill with a good arborist who knows how to use these materials. We can do some pretty creative stuff.
Very good. Well, shall we get to Bob? Got a sad look at pecan tree. We can't lose any of those.
Yeah. What do you got for us, Bob?
Hi. Okay, this is my sister's tree. I told her I'd call you guys when you're on next. And her pecan tree, the leaves just started browning up on it. It's on the west side of her yard, so it's in a great place for shade in the afternoon. But she has no mulch underneath it, and I don't think they spend a lot of time watering it. And there is a shed that's pretty close to it that's keeping the ground from getting wet with the rain or anything. And they usually just go online and figure out their problems like that. I think they went out and bought, is it called zinc chromate that they use on pecan trees?
Yeah, they do require some zinc. I don't suspect it's a nutritional issue, but it could be. I'd have to, kind of check those symptoms on the leaves. If you wanted to send in a photo or two to us or to your local arborist, it always helps if you're looking to try to diagnose a nutrient deficiency by leaf symptoms. We definitely need to see a photo. But this time of year, it very well could be a watering issue. How old is the tree? How large a diameter is the trunk?
It's probably 12 inches in diameter, and it's probably about a little over 40 years old.
Well, yeah. Well, pecans are... Was it planted or was it an old orchard tree that they built around?
No, it was planted.
It was.
They replaced an elm tree with a pecan tree when the elm tree got old and died.
Well, pecans are particularly thirsty trees. They have a very high water requirement, and they need deep soaking. So if there's any way you can deliver some good deep water to that tree, down to probably a 4 to 5 foot depth would be ideal. You'll be sure to get every bit of that root ball watered at every irrigation cycle.
So they need the water, and then just stick a rod in there about 4 feet to see how deep they're watering.
Yeah, exactly. You'll need to use like a 4 foot soil probe will get you down to about 48 inches. That would be great. The only way you can do that is to slow water, and just if you have to put a hose out or even a soaker hose is a great way to deliver that water, and just put it on slowly. We just open our our spigot up just very, very slightly with our garden hose attached to the soaker hose. Then the soaker hose covers the root zone of several of our trees, and we just leave it on overnight. And we'll sometimes give 8 or 10, 12 hours of soaking. Then you can take that soil probe out there and push it into the soil to kind of see how deep you're getting. But pecan trees are notorious for, not notorious, but they are known to be very thirsty trees needing deep watering. And this time of year, it's not that unusual if you have a little bit of leaf browning. You know, this was a very, very intense summer. So, you know, if the tree might just have to cycle through some of those old leaves, and hopefully they'll be replaced as soon as the weather kind of cools down.
And just to give you some numbers, I had a tree nut tell me once that a pecan tree, you like that?
I do. I like that.
I stole it from Gary's copywriting at the beginning of the segment. I don't know if you heard it.
Yeah.
A pecan tree needs 10 gallons of water per day per year of its life. So, Bob, I just did the numbers for you for your sister. If that's a 40-year-old tree and you water it once a week, that weekly watering, it needs 2,800 gallons of water. Now, that's a commercial production. Obviously, if we're not growing pecans off of it and it's not in agriculture, you don't need that much. But for commercial production, that's how much water they're dumping on those pecan trees. And if I understand right, the zinc isn't really, if it's for aesthetics, you don't need to worry about the zinc. That's just to get the flavor on the pecan fruit itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they just read it online and they ran and got that. And I said, well, you guys should talk to either my brother who's an arborist or talk to an arborist here in town.
Where are you located? What part of town?
And how about putting mulch on the ground around the base of the tree? It's just got bare dirt down there.
That's obvious. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Sure, that always helps. It helps to retain moisture and encourages nitrogen cycling and some nutrient cycling. Sure, it's going to be much better to have a little bit of mulch there.
I appreciate your guys' information. My pecan tree is doing wonderful, and it's surrounded by grass and privets, and it gets a lot of water when I water my grass.
Part of town are you in?
In Tucson, it's in the northwest side. We're over where the old cotton fields used to be.
Okay.
Off of I-10 by Prince Road.
Yeah, good.
So we have really good dirt here.
Really good soil. Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your information, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
Who needs an arborist when you got the internet?
Don't say that. No, there's nothing like having an arborist on site who can walk around and give you the skinny on all your trees and shrubs. We love doing it, too. We got a bunch of dedicated staff at Integrity Tree Service who love to talk trees and get down in the dirt and kind of tell you what's going on in your yard. If you need a good consulting arborist, feel free to give us a shout. We'd love to come and help people kind of solve some of their problems.